On 88.1 WIPR, I'm Tom Hall, and I'm at the Alban O. Kuhn Library Gallery on the campus of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County in Catonsville, and I'm with Tom Beck. He's the chief curator here at UMBC, and we're looking at a terrific collection exhibition of photographs by a man named N.J. Jaffe. It's called Photographs from Public to Personal, and it'll be here until the 23rd of March. Tom Beck, welcome to Maryland Morning.
Nice to see you. I welcome you to the Library Gallery.
Well, thanks for having me, and tell us about N.J. Jaffe.
N.J. Jaffe was the son of Jewish immigrants to Brooklyn, New York, who grew up in relative poverty, but over his life found autobiographical release by making photographs. As a career, he mostly worked in the printing industry, but it was photography that was his love and passion.
Although, as I understand it, he wasn't, as we understand, the common definition, a professional photographer. Is that right?
No, he was an amateur, but in the sense of the root of the word, which means to love. He loved photography, but he grew to be an artist of the medium.
The exhibition is called From Public to Personal, and oftentimes we assume that those two terms are in dichotomy to each other and opposite. But in a way, the theme of this show shows that they're deeply interwoven.
One would think that public imagery, documentary photography, would be separate from personal, because documentary photography was intended to be shared with people on a public stage of some sort. But Jaffe, while he was making his very public images, was also giving his autobiography. And a good example is this image that we're standing in front of here, of people on a street in New York, bent over against the wind with the snow blowing around them, sort of fierce like we've experienced here recently. And it reminiscent of his childhood, where he grew up in an apartment heated only by a single stove in the kitchen, so the rest of the apartment is probably fairly cold in winter days, and he bundled up both at home and outdoors, so he understood cold better than most.
I think we're all getting a pretty good understanding of cold these last few weeks. So when you take a look as an expert, as a curator, as a person who interacts with art in all forms on so many different levels, when you see this photograph, the composition, they're standing there at a corner in New York, as you say, huddled against the cold. There's a big patch of snow on the sidewalk, which is clearly it's a windy day. There's a fellow in the photograph who's holding onto his hat, literally, so it doesn't blow in the wind. When you take a look at the composition, the light, the general image of this photograph, what do you see, and why does it resonate with you?
Well, for one, he's leaning against the buildings himself to steady his camera from the wind and all the what's going on around him. And he's aiming up the street, and we see groups of people, as I said, bending against the wind and huddled and against the buildings. And so it's about form, it's about the light of a winter day, the sort of the haze of the snow blowing in the air, but also that huddled together kind of feeling of being cold.
Yeah, it really does convey that feeling of freezingness. Now, there are a lot of pictures of people. There's a beautiful photograph here called Shoeshine Conversation from New York, 1949. There's a fellow doing the shoes of another fellow, and the fellow whose shoes are being done is clearly making an emphatic point to the shoeshine guy, who is smiling in response. These are two human beings, and the light that shines on their faces is really quite extraordinary. And you could just imagine, you know, this animated conversation going on between the two of them. But there are also photographs that don't involve people. Are they sort of split evenly, the ones that have folks in them and the ones that are photographs from nature or architecture?
Split more in the later years than in the early years. In the early years, most of the work was about people in one way or another. That was the style of documentary photography that was characteristic of the 1940s into the 1960s. This image that we're looking at here is architectural. And it's the St. Nicholas Church in Lower Manhattan, contrasted against the high-rise buildings behind it. And this image was strongly inspired by others who photographed at the same time from whom he benefited, such as Bernice Abbott. Bernice Abbott was very famous for her book called Changing New York. And so we see actually the same church that Abbott photographed, but from a different perspective in a different way. So it's Jaffe's own take on it, but I'm fairly certain he knew the Abbott photograph.
Mm-hmm. What do you know about the process that Mr. Jaffe went through when he shot these things? You hear about famous photographers like, you know, Ansel Adams or something like that, you know, spending days, weeks, you know, even months setting up a photograph, making sure he gets it right, and then waiting for the light to be just right. What do you know about how Mr. Jaffe worked?
I suspect that when he went out, it was to be among people on the street, near the buildings, and it was more spontaneous than Adams ever would have conceived. And when he got home, most of his life, Jaffe had a closet in which he developed his film and a bathtub in which he washed his prints. It was not a high-tech operation, but as you can see from the quality, he knew how to make it work for him.
Well, this exhibition, as we mentioned, spans 50 years. There are lots and lots of photographs. How many do you have displayed here at UMBC?
77.
Yeah, there's a big chunk. And they are really just stunning in so many different ways. I'm sort of randomly stopping by ones that are catching my eye. This is one called Boy Holding Dog. It's exactly that. Shot in East New York in 1950. It's a young boy. He's got an Indian headdress on him, and he's holding this sort of scrangly-looking mutt with a somewhat forlorn look on his face as well as the face of the dog. But this is the kind of photograph you could stare at this kid's eyes forever.
It was a very powerful image that Jaffe probably asked the boy if he could make his picture. And the boy, a little bit apprehensive, a stranger comes up and asks him to make his picture. But an African-American boy clutching his dog to himself and in a play kind of mode with the Indian headdress. So another one of those spontaneous images I referred to.
Well, it's really something. Now, we're going to mosey on over to a section of photographs that don't have as many people in it. As you mentioned, Tom Beck, Jaffe tended to get a little bit more concerned with form and structure and sort of sculptural images. So there are more photographs of nature that I guess take place towards the end of this time period of the collection, which is in 1997. There's one photograph here, some trees shot through a wet window back in 1993, about 4 years before the work in this exhibition begin, or end rather. This is a beautiful photograph.
He became much more personal and poetic in his style as he became more concerned with natural environment as opposed to human environment. He was a tall, gentle, thoughtful, and quiet-spoken man. And so this image, in some regards, represents him as I met him when he came to our gallery years ago.
What kind of guy was he?
Very thoughtful guy. He was a fellow that he thought first and spoke later, and then would react to what was asked of him and said of him.
Well, I appreciate so much your time and letting us take a look at this collection of photographs here at UMBC, and hope folks come down and check it out. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Tom Beck is the chief curator here at UMBC. We're at the Albin O'Kuhn Library Gallery. The exhibition is called N.J. Jaffe, Photographs from Public to Personal, 1947 to 1997. As we mentioned, it's here until the 23rd of March. We'll have complete information on our website. Come to wipr.org/Maryland Morning. On Maryland Morning, I'm Tom Hall. We're going to send it back to the studio. Thanks so much to everybody who has called and made a pledge in this winter pledge drive. We appreciate your support, and we're going to let you know how you can make your support known, if you haven't done that already, by sending it back to the folks in the studio who will tell you how to do that.